And in camp meeting, the Lord spoke and he said, stop judging one another. Dave preached this morning on being an intercessor. And the Lord said he's going to do a great work in our hearts this night. And I feel this is the night that this testimony should come forth. When I came to Community Chapel, I had totally given up on marriage. That's one thing that I just decided I'd just skip because I'd tried four times to get along with women. I'd been drugged through the divorce court four times. I feel like I got one divorce because the first marriage, my heart got involved, but after that, my heart never got involved again. Before I became a Christian, I said, you know, in the first marriage, the first divorce, your heart, it tears you all up, but after that, you can walk off and leave them a dime a dozen, and the reason is your heart never gets involved. I can see now it's because of the spirit of rejection sets in. And I know the spirit of rejection was very strong in my life. Until I came to the Lord and got delivered of that spirit of rejection, it was impossible for me to allow my heart to get involved again. I'm so thankful today that my heart has finally gotten involved with a woman again. When I came to Community Chapel, I finally went to the wedding. I'll never forget Lauren and Linda Kernelka when they got married. I sat there and I cried and I thought I totally missed life. I could just see the love flowing between that couple and just, it was so marvelous. And I just thought, man, I knew I had missed. But finally, after about three or four of those weddings, I'd prayed a couple of years before for the Lord to just take women out of my life. I don't want nothing to do with them. I couldn't, seem like I couldn't live with them. I couldn't live without them, but still it was a big hindrance in my Christian walk because I couldn't get around them without getting involved a little bit. But after three or four of those weddings that I'd gone to, it dawned on me, you old bald-headed man, you're not 49 years old at that time, and you might live to be 70 or 80 if the rapture doesn't come, and I'd be a long time to live alone. And the Lord lifted his hand about that time, and I started getting the desire to have a wife. I figured out that what I really had missed, that I just married fleshly women, and what I needed was a spirit-filled wife, and then we wouldn't have any problems. That we could live happily ever after and everything would just be nice and rosy. So I married a beautiful submissive or beautiful spirit-filled wife and I proceeded to marry her. But it didn't turn out the way I planned. I missed it again. There had to be some changing in my heart done first. The third day we were married, we were hollering, and I ashamed myself because I knew the neighbors could hear, and she informed me that I was no different than her ex-husband. I remembered standing there thinking she sounds just exactly like Mary Lou. The two people that got married, the Lord showed me this. The two people that got married was her the last day with her ex-husband and me the last day with my ex-wife. Now, these are the two people that batted heads the first cross word, and it came the third day. And it was already building up the first day, and the third day it exploded. But every time you get a divorce, you compound your problems. Well, the time you get married the fifth time and her third time, for her, there is a great revelation out of this, though. 5 and 3 makes 8, and 8 is the number of new beginnings. After all those compounded problems, I'll guarantee you we have problems. I don't care who it is. You can let your imagination run wild, but you can't imagine. You can't even come close to imagine what her and I went through. I spent all night in prayer, many nights. Not many, but quite a few. The first time I spent all night in prayer, there was one problem. James, he'd said, and the Bible said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it abundantly. By about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I had the answer. I knew what the trouble was, and at 6 o'clock I woke her up to tell her what the problem was. And it involved her, and I mean she went right through the roof, and I didn't do that again. I decided there had to be a different way. You know, there's one scripture in this Bible that kept the Lord has brought to my mind so many times. I'm going to read Mark 11, 23. It says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." My wife and I would get in a big fight. Now, that first year, I was out of speaking terms more than we were on. But I'd go off to myself, and I'd go to praying. "Lord, I know that there's a way, but how?" And that scripture come to my mind, "If you will believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you can have whatsoever you say." All I could see was flesh. But then there's other scriptures came to mind. You reap what you sow. You sow in the flesh, you reap in the flesh. I was sowing in the flesh, and I was reaping in the flesh. I was confessing that I had a rebellious, unsubmissive wife, and I totally believed it in my heart, and I confessed it, and I had it. But the thoughts of me switching over into the spirit realm, I didn't understand it, but the thoughts of me doing this and doing like Jesus, when we come to Christ, he doesn't look at us as a rebellious hunk of flesh that most of us are when we come to the Lord. He looks at us as a perfected saint. And I could see this truth, but for me to put it to work, I had a terrible time. It nearly killed me the first time I told her she's perfect. But a surprising thing happened. She ducked her head and she said, "Harlan, that's a high calling." I really didn't know what to think about that, and I thought, well, I'd try it again. So I told her again one day she was perfect. She said, "No, Harlan, I'm not perfect. I'm selfish." And something clicked in me about that time, and I got to thinking, if I don't tell her faults, then she'd have to look at them herself. And I could see she's selfish, but I never realized she already knew it. But I told her that day, I said, "Well, big deal. If you got a selfish streak in you, that's Jesus' job. I'll guarantee you he's got a paddle big enough to get it out of you." She looked at me and she said, "A trial, huh?" I think that's what he calls it. He says, "On this earth we'll have much trials and tribulation." But anyhow, I stepped over into the spirit realm. At the end of a year and a half of marriage, I was thinking very strongly of going to Alaska and just giving up and quitting. I knew that wasn't the answer, and I knew I'd backslide if I did, but I couldn't live the way I was living. Mark Yoker's preached gave a little exhortation one night, about 15, 20 minutes, on resisting evil. And that night, there's a 10,000-watt bulb come on in my mind. I saw a truth that I'd never seen before. The one thing that he said, but he said his wife said she recognized these little things in her life, but she'd pray about them, but they wouldn't go, and she just, till she took right after them and drove them out of her life, then they'd go. And I went home that night. I told Nan, I said, "Honey, I don't know what I'm doing, but will you bind together with me one time in prayer? I believe I have this thing figured out." And I put my arm around her, and I felt kind of silly in a way, but I just popped it off. I said, "You critical spirit, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you out of our life in the name of Jesus." And that's all I said. But you know, there's no temptation to criticize anymore. I didn't have a heart to criticize her. But every time she'd talk, it was just like she's pointing a finger right straight at me and accusing me. And I finally had to ask her, I said, "Honey, why are you pointing a finger at me? I'm not guilty of that." She said, "I didn't say you were." I said, "Well, what you were saying, and that's the way I was receiving it." She said, well, that's the way you do me. And I said, hold the phone right there. This isn't right. And I went to prayer. Boy, back in those days, I was doing a lot of praying. And the only thing that was in my mind was defensive. And I put my arm around her one more time, and I said, you defensive spirit, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you out of our lives in the name of Jesus. And we sat down for one solid month. We didn't do anything but talk. And we talked, and we talked. We went ahead and got rid of, went through good deliverance. I mean, we got so free that I walked like I was walking in outer space. These mind battles that had raged in my mind for years and years and years. Being an alcoholic and in the bars, I'd open my mind up to everything. She'd been raised in spiritualism, Christian Science, Ouija boards, seances, and all of that stuff, and all this garbage that we'd been through all of our lives. These mind battles just raging. And here we go, get through deliverance. And I'm walking around for about 2 weeks like I'm in outer space. And finally I got to thinking, you better get a direction in your life and do something. It's just like there was no battle left. We walked for 5 months in total freedom. Now the Bible says that when unclean spirit has gone out of a man, it goes to dry places and finds no rest, and it says, I'll return to the house from which I came. And for about the next 4 or 5 months, we went through a testing period. We battled those spirits. Went crazy. I'd pray and I'd rebuke those spirits, but it seemed like I'd get a deliverance, and then we'd go along pretty good for a little bit, and then here it is again. And over again. I've seen my wife go through the same trial 30, 40 times before she finally got the victory. She got that victory today, praise the Lord. But one night I was praying all night again, and I'd been preaching to her, honey, we've got to gird up the loins of our mind and keep those spirits out. It's just like I could see it. She would be standing there, and they'd come in, and then they'd go, and they'd come, and they'd go. I'd see them, and then they'd be gone. Finally, this night in prayer, I said, Lord, how do I get my wife to gird up the loins of her mind and keep those spirits out? And he spoke to my heart just as plain as could be. And he said, I protect my church, you protect yours. I could have jumped right through that roof that night. I with joy to know that I had the authority over those things. I could see for the first time that this is what it meant for a man to protect his family. And I said, you dirty rats, get out of my house. You know you don't have any place around here anymore. And they went. About 2 weeks, I came in, and here they were back. In silent prayer, I went to interceding, just like the message was on this morning, intercession. I interceded, and I could see those spirits go one by one as I named them right straight down the line. They left my house. A man looked up with tears in her eyes and said, Harlan, I feel like I've been through a terrible battle. I said, honey, you have. A week or two later, I came in and there they were back again, and I just looked at her. I never even interceded or nothing, and I could see them go, and I just stood there for just a minute, and she said, Harlan, I feel like I've been through a terrible battle today. I said, you have, honey. And she come and put her arms around me. When a man gets to the point where he separates his wife from that spirit, when he recognizes the two. My wife's heart, it was sweet. Her heart was to please me in every way. But when I recognized these spirits for what they are, and I started interceding in her behalf, our lives just went right on up. Our marriage is growing every day. When I quit confessing that I had an unsubmissive, rebellious wife, and I started confessing that I had a beautiful, submissive, sweet, any other good thing you could think of, I started to believing it in my heart, and I confess it with my mouth, I've got just what I say. I know that there's a lot of marriages that are operating in the flesh realm. You take the flesh man. If he comes in and he sees the house not quite clean as he thinks it ought to be, he thinks, I'll fix her up. He tells his wife, Why don't you clean up this filthy house? It looks like a hog pen. He thinks that it ought to get the job done. But you take, when you get over in that spirit realm, that spirit man never puts anybody down. He lifts them up. Paul said, if you see a man taken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, you restore that man. And I didn't say ye which are fleshly, but ye which are spiritual, you restore him, lest you be overtaken by the same thing. You take that spirit man, if he wants the house a little cleaner, he'll pop up and say, honey, I really appreciate the way you keep house. You're just such a good housekeeper. And I want you to know I appreciate it. He lifts her up. She'll work her fingers to the bone. A man told me a while back, he said, I can't be the head of my household because my wife has a domineering spirit. Until she submits, I can't be the head. I said, so you sit back and let the domineering spirit be the head of the household for 10 years, waiting. I said, how long do you think you wait? You got the authority, God-given authority, to kick that thing out of your house. Take the head of the household and go with it. Get rid of that spirit out of your house. If there's any critical spirits, defensive spirits, men, take authority over those things. Start being that intercessor for you between, just like Moses, he interceded. Jesus interceded. And we're a type of Christ. We're not a type of Satan. That flesh man's a type of Satan. And if I was a woman, it'd be hard for me to submit to that flesh man. I never did find one that would submit to my flesh yet. They always balked, just like an old balky mule. I wholeheartedly believe when God made the woman, he made her a very special person. He built her with a built-in flesh detector. I believe it. There's no doubt about it. He made her with a built-in flesh detector. And any time a man starts slipping back into the flesh, she may submit. But it's not that flow and love that he wants. And if a man will get sensitive and be sensitive and be up on top of the situation in his home, he will know when he is slipping back into the flesh. Because a wife will let him know. I praise the Lord. I talked to a man one time, and he said, I told him, a man with a mediocre marriage, one that he can tolerate, he'd liable to live all of his life with a mediocre marriage. But a man like me that's been drug out to the bottom of the divorce courts and everything else, I got a direction. I see that perfect marriage that God intended for man to have. And as Jesus said, it says over in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, that he'd presented to himself a glorious church. You look at your wife as your church, your own particular little church. You're going to present it to yourself. What are you going to present? Take inventory. Let's have the best marriages in Community Chapel. People that ought to be able to see the marriages in Community Chapel are so far above anything else they see around that they'd ought to flock in here. Once we get into this position of being intercessors, wives, if your husbands aren't in the Spirit, don't rebel, but go into intercession. We can intercede for each other. And always one more thing. I got off my wife's back and started saying, Lord, change me. Just change me. I don't care nothing about my wife. If you decide to change her, you change her. But I'm going to accept her and I'm going to love her just exactly the way she is today. And for the rest of her life, I'm going to love her just the way she is. This allowed her, instead of becoming Harlan Mueller righteous, it allowed her to become Christ righteous. And he's doing a lot better job of it than I was. I praise him. He said he was going to do a work tonight in our midst. And if men and women will take this message, it can totally transform your marriage. I mean, it can put it up in that top notch into that spiritual realm instead of walking around in that flesh realm. If there's any thought of criticism, recognize it as flesh. All of these faults. Jesus doesn't expect us to be perfect, so we shouldn't expect our mate to be perfect. Let's allow them to have a fault or two and just love them the way they are. Praise the Lord.
This is too good to let pass up. I just feel like we really Let's take a couple minutes here, and maybe not necessarily a lot of time, but those of you who really, if this really strikes your heart, married couples, if you really know that you need this revelation in a much greater way in your marriage, perhaps you don't have real deep marriage problems, but perhaps you're far from seeing that improvement and seeing that growth in your marriage that you want to have. And if this has really struck your heart tonight, if you really realize that you need to see your mate as Jesus sees them, if you really need to realize the importance of interceding for your mate, I want you to stand right now. And those of you who have really been struck by this tonight, let's take just a few minutes here. And those around these people, lay hands on them. Let's take a time to pray and just ask God to do work in these people's lives and cement this. Hallelujah. Jesus, we ask you, O God, tonight. Hallelujah. Have your way, O God, in every one of these lives, Jesus. Cement these truths in their heart brought to our brother, O God. We know this is your will, Jesus. Hallelujah. We know you desire this for each and every one of our marriages, O God. We want this to be, O God. Hallelujah. Minister, O God, this in every heart tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us to receive it. Help us to receive it, O God, and to put it into action, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, I just pray your power right now to break hindrances that the enemy would put in every one of these marriages. Break them, O God, and allow these ones, Jesus, to begin to grow in this area. Lord, to begin to just be intercessors for thee, O God. Hallelujah, to work to see your kingdom come to pass in these households, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We trust you, O God, to do this. We trust you by this prayer of faith right now, O God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Touch every single couple, O God. Touch them tonight, Jesus. Help them, O God, to see this turn plain, O God. Hallelujah. Just pray the seed. Go deep, O God, and bear fruit in everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Help every couple to make a firm decision right now, O God, not to let the seed be caught away by the enemy as time goes on, O God. Help them, O Lord, to plant this deep in the soil of their hearts, O God, that it may bear fruit. And every single family, O God, we need this understanding. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, surely I.